Now, I hope you have all had the chance to see the website recently, the new look that is there, and certainly it's well overdue. I think it's something that we did need to do for some time, but I'm hoping it is something that is pleasing to God and so certainly reflects what we are about. The news analysis, however, the prophetic news analysis, is one area that is going to change, and as we progress, we need to make that a bit more automatic, so that things are done in an automatic fashion, and therefore we should be able to see something coming along in that area on a progressive basis, on a probably a weekly basis. I'm hoping that there can be updates going in there, there can be various comments on what's going on in the news. We are told to watch. We're told to watch world events, we're told to be alert to what is going on. But certainly, why is it so important? What is so important about it? We're going to listen to a tape today. It's going to be a tape from Mr. Armstrong, which was given over in 1980. It was actually transmitted from Tucson across to Pasadena. And it was right at the very beginning of the 1980s. And you'll find that the reason why I'm giving this actually almost like a split sermon this morning, which is probably a semi-news analysis as well, is because it's less than an hour long. It's about 50 minutes long altogether. So there's a good deal more time than just a sermonette or even a standard news analysis prior to the sermon today. But as you'll listen to that particular sermon, you will find that there are certain things said that did not come to pass as expected. There are certain things that he says that almost certainly, well, certain things he says almost certainly, and other things he says definitely will happen in a certain time frame. Now, what I want to do today is I want to talk a little bit about how the world has changed since Mr. Armstrong's time, because we do, this is part of the reason why we've got to watch. This is what we've got to watch out for, because things are not static. They're not. It's not just a case of taking a list of what Mr. Armstrong had to say and looking for these things in the world as it is today, because the world that it is today has changed. It has changed quite remarkably in many areas. So what I want to do is I want to talk about how we need to watch, how we need to look at the situation, and I want to then go into some of the things that have actually changed, areas that have in fact changed. So in this this split sermon, the first area in understanding how we need to watch, we really do need to understand the spiritual heritage and what that spiritual heritage is that has been left to us, because in many ways we could be looking at the world scene and looking at it in a wrong from a wrong perspective. What we've got to do is actually take the way Mr. Armstrong, if he were here looking at today's world, how would he look at it? How would the very Spirit of God, how would Jesus Christ working through him look at the world scene as it is today? And the areas that are different, the areas that I've highlighted, and these are not by no means the only areas. I've actually listed nine of them down here that I'd like to go through if we have the time. First of all, I put down is a shortened attention span in human beings. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about that, because that does have a bearing on the way human beings are looking at their world. It is not the same as they are looking at the world previously. Secondly, I want to talk a little bit about the condition found within the Church of God. The condition in the Church of God today was not expected. It is not something that we anticipated, or even Mr. Armstrong anticipated. Thirdly, I want to talk about this extended time frame, because we have this shattered church era at the moment, and this time of the shattered church, and it has given an extended time frame, again, that was not anticipated. I want to talk about the things in the world that actually gave rise to that. Fourthly, I want to talk about the terrorist threat briefly. Fifthly, I want to talk a little bit about the erosion of liberty within our countries and how this, again, was not the same. It's different today from what it was in the past. Sixthly, I want to talk about the dilution of national identity, because what is Britain today and what was Britain when Mr. Armstrong was alive, and what is America today and what was America when Mr. Armstrong was alive, is different to some degree ethnically. Because we're looking at a rise of the Gentile nations within our countries. Seventhly, I want to talk about human genetics. Just point out that this area is something completely new. You know, the human genome wasn't even thought about in the same way when Mr. Armstrong was alive. The rise of China, number eight, is something we can certainly watch at the moment. We were looking at the USSR more at that time. today we're looking at China more. It still fits within the prophecies, but again, there is a slight change in emphasis that is there. And finally, I want to talk about the change in distribution, in food production, in food distribution, particularly because the way in which the famines will in fact come, at one time when Mr. Armstrong was alive, that it looked in a certain direction. Today, yes, it could still be in that direction. It could be drought and then leading to famine prior to the war. But it also, because of the different change in food production and in distribution, there is this other aspect there that we need to keep our eyes on. So these are the areas I want to go into for a split sermon. It sounds an awful lot, but I won't dwell too long, I hope, on each particular aspect. First of all, let's have a look at this subject of applying the spiritual heritage. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, the people who are the sons of God, in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die." Now, we've got to live in a certain way. It says, "But if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body," you understand that it is in fact a spiritual approach to life, and it is through that Spirit, that indwelling of God's Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, "then you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," they are the sons of God. That is a definition of who the sons of God are, who the elect are. And Mr. Armstrong went through continually the subject of the two trees. Now, when we're looking at the two trees, one of those trees, the tree which we are holding on to, is in fact a symbol for the very Spirit of God, of being led by the Spirit of God, of having the knowledge that is God's knowledge being given to us, being defined for us through God's Word, and being led through that Spirit. So when we look at the time when Mr. Armstrong was alive, we're looking at Mr. Armstrong looking at the world as was then. He was analyzing world events, and he was doing it through the leadership of the very Spirit of God. Jesus Christ was actually working through him and looking at the world and you know, guiding him to make a discernment. And what we have got to look at is not the specific things that he was looking at then and making judgments on them, but looking at how he looked, how he did it. In what way was this Spirit leading him to look at the world scene? Because that is the way we have got to do it today. That is the spiritual heritage that we've been given. We must look at the world today, and the changing world as it is today, but look at it in exactly the same way as Mr. Armstrong did and Jesus Christ was leading the church in the past. That's not so easy. It's not so easy. And it also lays itself open very greatly to people that are carnal, either rejecting everything that Mr. Armstrong said, or going to the other extreme and just taking the individual items that Mr. Armstrong made certain pronouncements on prophetically, and they miss the spiritual side. And yet, you know, when you look at Matthew 25, we don't have to turn there, but the five wise and five foolish, the five wise had the Holy Spirit of God. It was the oil that made the difference. That is so absolutely essential to us. It also refers us back in Matthew 25, it refers us back in that way to Daniel 12, which talks about how the, you know, the wicked will do wickedly, but none of them will understand, but the wise will understand. We turn over a few pages from here in Romans to across to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and just understand just how different this approach has got to be. Because here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9 it says, "But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." Now we are looking for the church fleeing. It doesn't go into the heart of man. It doesn't come from the heart of man. You cannot, from man's heart and man's discernment, however clever a political analyst we are, that will not do it. That is not what we're looking for. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. That's how the information came to us. It came to us through Mr. Herbert Armstrong. And we need to go back and we need to realize this is a spiritual heritage. We've got to look at the world the way he looked at it, the way that God was leading us at that time. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Analyzing world events purely by human analysis will not do the job. That is not where it's at. We've got to be able to look at it. And the only way we can do this is by being on our knees, by being close to God, and being part of the wise that are mentioned in Matthew 25. And here in verse 14 it says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Now we can look at it carnally, and we will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And this is what I say. There are people who discount what Mr. Armstrong said because of certain of the things that you will hear in the tape today. They'll say, oh, you got it wrong. He was looking totally off track. Therefore, we'll discount all that. We can go ahead and we can change whatever doctrines we want. We can make any kind of view of the world that we want to make. We are being led by the Spirit of God and all this kind of nonsense. But you see, if the Spirit of God is looking at something which is the same, it will look at the thing in the same way. So if the Church of God was being led in a certain way, it will be led in that same way today. It is only when certain things change that you are actually looking at that you then adjust, but you adjust it in the same way, being led by the same Spirit. And it says here, for they are foolishness to him. These things, the things of this, he says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. Now when we go into, so that's the spiritual heritage, the fact that we've got to look at world events, world news, using the same criteria that was used in the past by the Church. You don't go back to see what was being used in the past and say, because the specifics didn't work out, you say, no, that was God leading the Church, that was Christ leading the Church. We also have got to be led in the same way. But we're looking at a world that is somewhat different. Not entirely, certainly, but somewhat different. The areas that we are different, as I said, I mentioned that one of the areas is actually a shortened attention span. The reason why that was important, as far as I was concerned, was there was an article here in the paper this morning. It says, now you can pass a GCSE without writing. And it says here, pupils will be able to score top marks in the new GCSE, that's the General Certificate of Education over here, science examination, without writing a single word other than their name. That's all they've got to do. The test, which is being introduced this year, will contain 6 papers, each lasting 30 minutes, consisting solely of multiple choice questions. And candidates will either join 4 words to an appropriate picture, or tick one of 4 answers labelled A, B, C and D, and they will have 3 opportunities a year to take the test. You see, what we're looking at within the world is a society that is geared to television, but something else has come up, and that is the computer game. And the children are being reared in the Western world, they are reared on the computer games, and the attention span and the analytical ability is being eroded. And you are getting a very different type of generation. Turn over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. You see, we've just read about the Spirit of God, and certainly it is the Spirit of God which makes the difference. That makes the difference. But if the mind itself also does not analyze, it doesn't look at things in the same way. And here, Christ is dealing with the Pharisees in chapter 16. He says, verse 1, it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and they tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. They're wanting a sign. And he answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say it's going to be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it's going to be foul weather today, because the sky is red and lowering. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can't you discern the signs of the times? Can't you look at the world scene and make a decision based on what you can see? Well, the problem was they weren't being guided by the Spirit of God. So even with, as far as a short attention span, you've still got to apply that Spirit. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there will be no sign given at the sign of the prophet Jonah, and he left them and departed. You see, if you turn over a few pages here, keep an eye on the time, over in Matthew 24, there's going to be, you know, people are looking for signs. They're looking for miracles. And I've had people mention to me that they're looking for somebody to come with miracle working ability, and that will be the Elijah to come. Now, if you go back and you see what John the Baptist was, and he and the way Christ actually labeled that John the Baptist was that type, that is not the case. He did no miracle. But here in Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect." So even those that are elect, that have got the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, these signs and miracles are going to be almost attempt to deceive them. Now we've got to be aware of that. And we've got to understand that we're living in a world that is deliberately going down a direction of a shortened attention span, of trying to be sidetracked in areas, football and so on. And it's more so even than when Mr. Armstrong was alive. This, with the computer games and the computer and the internet, this has become more and more so. There are little bite-sized chunks of information. We don't sit down and read books today the way that used to. We do not have the same kind of analysis ability. Now, when we come into the conditions of the church, the second point, if we turn over to Revelation 11, Mr. Armstrong in the sermon today will read from Revelation 10, and he will end in Revelation 10. But there was an area here that was not understood, was not really addressed at that time. And the area is that what it flows straight from Revelation 10, straight into Revelation 11, and then into the two witnesses. But in Revelation 11, verse 1, it says, "And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod," a measuring reed, a measuring stick. "And the angel stood, saying, Rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and those that worship therein." Now the temple of God to which Christ will return will be his church. And the church today is being measured. It's being tested. It's being measured to see whether in fact we are a part of that church or not. Now this shattering that we find over in Daniel 12 also is something that, no, we didn't have that in mind. That is not something that we were foreseeing, that Mr. Armstrong foresaw. And here, that verse was not really understood in the same way as we can today, looking in hindsight, seeing that verse and saying, aha, yes, we're now in that time. It's a different time. It's something that, again, we've got to, therefore, it affects our view of the world to a certain degree. Now, if you go back to Revelation 10, verse 6, notice where it says, "And swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are in, and the sea and the things that are therein, there should be time no longer, or delay no longer." Now God held things up in the past, and Mr. Armstrong brings the fact that he did hold things up. But from our perspective today, if we're moving on to the third point, the fact that this extended time frame that we have today, I was just going through what exactly has happened around the time that this sermon was given, and what was happening in America and in the world after Mr. Armstrong's death, for that decade of the 80s. What was going on in the great decade of the 80s? What actually did happen? There were three individuals, I suppose, shaped that time and caused certain things to be delayed in a way that we never ever foresaw. Those individuals were Mr. Ronald Reagan, Mrs. Margaret Thatcher, and Mikhail Gorbachev. And it's interesting, Mr. Gorbachev was actually on the radio today, this morning. He was on the news, and he was just being interviewed about a leukemia charity that is named after his wife, who died of leukemia. And it's something that you'd never even think you'd hear back in the 80s. Because Brezhnev was the one. In fact, when you're looking at the time that Mr. Armstrong gave this sermon, you're looking at January 1980, right at the beginning of the 80s. Mr. Ronald Reagan didn't even win the presidential election until that November. So he was not even a president of the United States at all. And he won by a landslide. I mean, when you're looking at this electoral college that they use over there, all of you in the States that are used in your country, when you look at the Mr. Gore and Mr. Bush back in the year 2000, when there was this controversy there, the Electoral College, Mr. Bush had 271 compared to Mr. Gore's 266 votes. These are the Electoral College. In the November 1980, Mr. Ronald Reagan won with 489-49. That's the kind of landslide victory that he had. Now, come 1981, that was 1981, remember, attempt was made on his life. He tried to be assassinated. So again, Mr. Armstrong probably went through 1980 thinking, well, will this man live or will he die? How effective will he be? You go into 1982, Brezhnev dies in November in 1982, and Andropov becomes the leader in the USSR. Again, a hardliner, because he makes comments about Afghanistan in the tape that you'll hear. And he was viewing it from the USSR that had just marched into Afghanistan. He said, look, it's a totally different ball game, because the aim was down to the Indian Ocean. 1983, Mr. Reagan addresses the Association of Evangelicals, and he gives the Evil Empire speech. And at the same time, just in March, in the end of March, he comes up with this Strategic Defense Initiative, this Star Wars program, if you remember. Now, I remember seeing an interview with somebody who was talking to Mr. Reagan about when this thing came. And his aim was to get rid of the Soviet Union. It was all around that time. And yet, Mr. Armstrong would look at that and yet would not see the significance that is there, because in hindsight, we're looking back on events. But that was 1983. 84, Cherenenko becomes the leader of the USSR. So again, you're looking at somebody who is a hardliner. Is nobody that's being dealt with at all. The end of that year, in November 84, Mr. Reagan wins another landslide victory. In this case, 525-13. Now again, you compare that with what we've seen today. It was in March the following year, in 1985, and that was when Mr. Armstrong was writing Mystery of the Ages, just releasing Mystery of the Ages, Mikhail Gorbachev became the leader of Russia. How significant? How could you see what the significance of that would be? In July that year, President Reagan underwent surgery for colon cancer. So again, was he going to live? Was he going to die? Would he make any difference? I mean, he was a really could not see that at all. In January 1986, Mr. Armstrong died. And then, what happened? In April the 14th, in 86, we're looking at America taking a very different view of the world. With Mr. Reagan in control, with Mrs. Thatcher in control in Britain, things were different, very different, and the church then was starting to move, and moving into this shattered position that we see it today. You see at that time, there was a Berlin discotheque that was bombed, 5th of April. 86, and two US servicemen were killed. 10 days later, the jets moved in and they bombed Libya, because Libya was pointed out, and the use of power, this was something almost unheard of. This is not the way Mr. Carter went and dealt with Iran, but the American president at that time was had a very different view of the use of power. April 25th, the Chernobyl accident occurred, so Mr. Gorbachev was dealing with that. And then October that year, in 86, the Reykjavik summit began. And what Gorbachev offered Mr. Reagan at that time was complete wiping out of all the nuclear arsenal. The nuclear stockpiles would be eliminated. And Mr. Reagan said, no. Now that took incredible leadership. Incredible leadership. You see, there's a change happening. Giving a length of time for Britain and America, for Ephraim and Manasseh, to have a certain respite. And these things are happening after his death. The Reykjavik summit began in October. In 87, you then saw glasnost and perestroika coming in the Soviet Union. Glasnost being openness, perestroika being restructuring. Then in June of that year, in 87, Mr. Reagan said to Mr. Gorbachev, when he visited Berlin, tear down this wall. And this, again, was something new. Unheard of, an American president saying to a president of the Soviet Union. And you go on, and finally, in November 89, that wall did come down. The 9th of November, 1989. And in 1990, Germany was reunited as a nation. That was profound times. But it didn't quite work out the same way as we understood it to work out. We saw this lull. We saw this time of an extended time frame suddenly come into the scene at the same time as the church was shattering and the church was going through the trials that it was going through. But those trials have continued to the present day. And at this present time, we see other things that are now starting to rear their head. In the paper, I think it was today, or was it whenever it was, today's paper, there we go. The Hamas, yes, that's right, I heard it on the news this morning. Israel has been bombing certain areas of Palestine in order to keep the terrorists from firing rockets over into Israel. And they'd routinely bomb these areas, routinely fire shells from offshore bases, from offshore ships. And they do that to stop the terrorists moving into an area. But some children got injured, and I don't think some actually got killed. And Hamas now said, right, the gloves are off, and there's a new terrorist threat coming on. So when we're looking at scripture, various scriptures, I've read to you about Psalm 83 and Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 talks about Syria and Palestine. Psalm 83 talks about Asher being allied to the Arabs. These are areas we didn't see before as being that significant. They were mentioned in the plain truth, but they were not looked at as that significant. Today, the terrorist threat is a significant threat. It has increased a great deal. Now, I'm not sure whether that will be where it all comes from. We don't know for sure. But it is an area that we've got to be watching. Now, in the case of the erosion of liberty, now, Mr. Armstrong will be talking about the receivership and the government and the way the governments work. And the government has been opposed to the church all the way through history. And that is the same today. We've got to be watching that. In the same way as he was watching what was happening in the receivership, we can look at the erosion of liberty within our countries. And we can see that erosion of liberty because we understand, again, putting your notes, I'm not going to have time to turn, but Isaiah 30:13, it talks about a wall that is ready to burst, and it could burst suddenly. But there are signs, if we look carefully, and we look at the news carefully, analysing them in the light of what is actually going on. The dilution of the national identity, certainly when we're looking at, turn over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Now, we saw this before. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 43, it says, "The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low." Now, we understood that principle in the past, but we looked upon it as somebody, you know, the stranger amongst us that just basically rises high in the ladder of success or whatever, and the general people are low in that regard. But you see, there's more to it today, because when we are looking at what's happening in our countries, the birth rate of the indigenous populations, certainly within America, in the case of the UK, Australia and New Zealand, and Canada, and the English-speaking peoples, you're looking at an indigenous population which is changing. If it carries on, if suppose it goes on for 100 years, you're going to look at a similar result to what you see in ancient Rome. Where are the Etruscans today? They aren't there. Where are the Romans today? The Romans aren't there. It's the slaves that were brought into Rome. They are the Italians today, predominantly. The genetic mixture has changed. And you'd find exactly the same thing here, and you'd find, therefore, that this scripture here would become... you'd look at it in a very different way, and we are progressively moving in that direction. When we look at certain things that have happened, last year... Over it says Hispanic is elected mayor of Los Angeles. That was just over about a year ago. It says the win is symbolic for the Latinos across the U.S. Now there's been this march that occurred just a few weeks ago over in America, and the idea is that, you know, the illegal immigrants want their right to stay in the country. And what that is doing is it's changing the country and changing the basis, you know, so many things. Instead of being English in so many cases, it's Spanish. Instead of having a Manassite view on things, you are having a Gentile view on things. This is changing within the country. And this is different. It is not the same as it was when Mr. Armstrong was alive. This has increased. It's increased markedly. You're looking at, I saw how many... plane loads. It says a new hemorrhaging in bled into the United States with Time magazine's report. Who left the door open? showing 3 million illegal aliens crashing our borders annually. That's 3 million every year. The number of illegal aliens flooding into the US annually totals 3 million, enough to fill 22,000 Boeing 737s, or 60 flights every single day of the year pouring into the United States. Now that is going to have an effect. And in addition to that, their birth rate is higher, so you get a compounding of the effect, and the birth rate of the indigenous Israelitish nation is going lower. And this is having an effect. This just is having an effect on what we see within society. So you're coming on also into the human genetics. Now, we knew when we looked at things such as Matthew 24, talked about as in the days of Noah, certainly Mr. Armstrong pointed out that there was going to be interracial marriage, which was going to be a problem. But when you go back to what it says in the days of Noah, it is that they took women of all that they chose. You know, the word isn't wife. There is no word for wife there. And when we're looking at the world today, you're looking at a certain change, slightly, insofar as there is a genetic difference. They're playing around in genetics in an area which is very similar to what was going on, probably, in the time of Noah. So again, this is a very significant area. This is an area that we need to watch. At the same time, there's an article here in the paper today, drive to give human rights to apes, leave the Spanish divided. It says, Spain could soon become the first country in the world to give chimpanzees, gorillas and orangutans and other great apes some of the fundamental rights granted to human beings under a law being proposed by members of the ruling socialist coalition in Spain. The law would eliminate the concept of ownership for great apes, instead placing them under the moral guardianship of the state, much in the case of children in care or the severely handicapped and those in a coma. It goes on, it says, the Roman Catholic Church, and here is a significant point, the Roman Catholic Church has expressed concerns about this resolution, and the Archbishop of Tudela, Fernando Sebastian, has said that only a ridiculous or a distorted society could propose such a law. We don't give rights to some people, such as unborn children, human embryos, and we're going to give them to apes, the Archbishop said. So again, in there you see, within this concept, the blurring of the lines, and you're seeing the Roman Catholic Church having a certain dominance. Another article's here, backing for baby cloning to beat disease. Earlier in the week, it says a proposal to create babies that are both cloned and genetically altered to prevent seriously hereditary disease is outlined today by the leader of the team that created Dolly the sheep. It says, be careful with this brave new world. An inside comment. It says the science can be quickly explained. One would take an IVF embryo with a hereditary defect, remove its stem cells, carry out a genetic correction, check that modification has worked, and then clone a defect-free cell to create a new embryo without the disease. The resulting child would be a clone, not of any person, but of an early embryo. So they're making actually clone. They would take an embryo, modify it, take a cell, clone it, and then create a human being out of it. Now, if that is not something that in another article here, it says, is this really a person? You know, at what point does a person become a person? Again, Mr. Armstrong commented on that, is the value of human life. And he understood that, but he was looking, what was he looking at? Was he looking at this? No, he's looking at abortion. He was looking at abortion. But here we're looking at something different. And again, we've got to take the same mindset. We've got to take the same spiritual heritage that we've been given, and we've got to apply it to what we're seeing today. Not going back just to and ignoring what's happening today. Another one, animal-human hybrid sparks controversy. Scientists have begun blurring a line between human and animal by producing chimeras, a hybrid creature that is part human and part animal. Now, I wonder very, very severely whether that's what was going on when we're looking back in Noah's day. Because once you start doing that, you start to undermine the basis of the family of God. And God will not allow that to continue. So we're living in very exciting times, evil times, times which, you know, have been prophesied. But he goes on, here's another one, mice used as sperm factories for pigs and goats. Do you not think that they will use the same thing? Mice for human sperm? And then where's the father in all this? Which, the spirit of man. And in fact, I wonder whether there are some areas somewhere where there are these individuals that have no father, that are purely from the egg, purely clones, and whether they have the spirit in man, or whether these are actually animals. And, you know, how long will God allow this to continue? We're looking at a different type of world. We come into another area. Turn over to Revelation 9. Revelation chapter 9. We see here in Revelation 9 and in verse 16, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million, I heard the number of them. Now, the only country that has this type of number available is the China, is China itself. And although we saw the USSR being the dominant, because the horde will come down from the north and the east troubled him, and he went to destroy away, to take away many. So you're looking, it's coming down from that area. It is the rise of China, which was not seen in the same way as we'd see it today. Another one in the paper again, just a few days ago, the rise of China's super cities, with 200 million expected to leave the countryside. Beijing tries to avert a social and environmental crisis. But this is what we're seeing. We're seeing a rise of a superpower in the Far East. It is prophetic, it fits with the prophecies. It was not there in the same way when we see the situation when Mr. Armstrong was alive. Another area is the food distribution and the production of that food. And when you're looking at food distribution and production, yes, there is going to be famine. There will be famine. It'll be famine and pestilence. A third will die with a famine, and a third will die with a war, or famine and pestilence. A third will die with a war, and a third will go into captivity, and they will then also, many of them will die. But you know how this comes about. The only way we could see in the times in the past was that the famine would be come about by a lack of rain, a lack of, and certainly the indication is that that is going to be the case. But is that what we've got to have first? Well, when you understand the distribution of food, and this is something new, the computer usage to cause that distribution, just-in-time stock taking, stock production, stock control rather, and it becomes, therefore, oil is becoming a crucial ingredient in the whole process to even feed ourselves. Without oil, the whole lot comes crashing down, because the oil is not just producing food and shipping it across on the trucks. It's doing it in the air as well. There is a huge amount of air freight into the supermarkets today that was not there before. And at the same time, we were looking at this last week, on Monday, it says Iran threatens to disrupt the Gulf oil shipments. So Iran is making noises there. Iran has only weeks to respond to the atomic offer, says the US. What is so vital about Iran? Well, it is sitting right there at the Gulf of Hormuz, and it is a vital strategic nation. The US bypasses Russia with a BP pipeline. So, again, you're looking at going into Azerbaijan, and you're looking at this area, this crucial area, probably from Edom that is controlling that area, but it is becoming very significant. That wasn't there. You didn't look at that as being that significant an area. It is today. But it is a case of looking at it through the same spiritual heritage. Turn finally, let's go back again and just read again 1 Corinthians 2. Because this is the key. This is the absolute key. 1 Corinthians 2, it's that what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man in verse 11, that is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Five are wise, five are foolish. It is to do with that spirit. It's to do with the oil. That is why it is, you know, I keep plugging away the fact that we need to get on our knees, we need to make sure that relationship is right. That is number one priority for every single one of us. We have no safety at all from any other source. It is from God. God is the one who will protect. And if he doesn't, God is the one that will take us through whatever we have to go through. If we have to die beforehand. He says, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He'll look at, perhaps, the tape this afternoon, and we'll look at it and discard everything that Mr. Armstrong says because certain things have got wrong. Or he'll look at it and totally ignore the things that have been that he got wrong and say, oh, well, the bits that he got right, we'll just put them or set them in stone like a Pharisee. We have got to go back to the spiritual heritage. We've got to look at the world today the way Mr. Armstrong was looking at the world at that time. And if it hasn't changed, it hasn't changed now. If there are adjustments to be made in the way we look, it is because of what we're looking at. We do not change the spiritual heritage. The spiritual heritage does not change one iota. It is those that are led by the same Spirit that are the sons of God. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And what we have got to make sure that we are doing is looking at things and understanding that these things that we're looking at are spiritually discerned.